It's the end of the year, and that often means, for some of us at least, traveling by air. I think I'm a pretty good air traveler. For example, in the United States, I generally know what the TSA agents like, and I've been complimented on my strategy to get through the checkpoints very quickly. I mean, they often pat me on the back, then up and down both legs, my arms, shoulders, yeah, right. Lately, though, TSA in the United States has been upgrading its scanning machines so that everyone, not just those who pay Clear and TSA Pre, can go through without having to take their electronic items out of their luggage. Your luggage can go through the conveyor belt along with your jackets and shoes. Before this upgrade, I would take several Clear gallon Ziploc bags and label each. Mac supplies, Dell supplies, podcasting microphones and other supplies. And I would keep these bags on one side of my duffel so that I could pull them out quickly. My laptops, yeah, plural, would slide out of my backpack last. And I would always put it in the last tray so that it wasn't sitting out there while you're still going through the metal detector. And my mobile phone? I would put that in my jacket pocket and wad it up next to my shoes, and then I'm clear to go through. In short, I would always disclose as much as possible what electronics and what personal toiletries I was carrying on board, and it really does speed things up in security. As I said, things are getting easier, and you don't have to take out as much as you used to. Then there are the individual countries, such as Canada, where they give you a tiny clear plastic bag, and they insist that all your toiletries fit in that. Not everyone carries their luggage on board. People do still check their bags. Often, though, there's a fee for each bag. And not everything works out the way you think, so I often just prefer to carry everything with me as much as possible. In a moment, I'll share a couple of travel stories from a well-known hacker, one who took creepy surveillance technology and kind of flipped it around. It's a story about how a hacker got even with someone who tried to steal his checked luggage. Welcome to The Hacker Mind, an original podcast from For All Secure. It's about challenging our expectations about the people who hack for a living. I'm Robert Vimosi, and in this episode, well, it's going to be short. What with the holidays, I'm gearing up for next year already, but I don't want to leave you out there without an episode. So let's get started. Kevin Mitnick is a world-famous hacker. In the 1980s, he tried teaching himself computers by obtaining software from corporate giants such as Sun and AT&T. They didn't often see it that way, and they viewed Kevin as actually stealing the software. As a result, he spent much of the late 80s and early 90s as a wanted man. I will say this, Kevin never sold the software. And often, Kevin didn't even use a computer to obtain the software. He used social engineering. He would get on the phone and work his way up the organization until someone somewhere agreed to give him access to what he wanted. Okay, Kevin did the time ultimately, and afterward has devoted his life to teaching others about social engineering attacks. So Kevin travels the world lecturing. As a convicted felon, however, he sometimes has challenges re-entering the United States. He's been stopped at customs, and he's had his bags searched. And as a result, he's found several ways to cope. He told me how he sometimes, maybe always, protects his sensitive data on his laptops. First, he encrypts all the confidential data on his hard drive and then transmits the encrypted files to a secure cloud location. Then he wipes the data on his laptop in case the border control agent decides they want to search his laptop. He does this for his clients, not only for himself. He notes that wiping the data is not the same as simply deleting it from your hard drive. Deleting only changes the master boot record, not the data. It's still there. And this is because digital forensics is then able to reconstruct that data later. Wiping involves overwriting the data with random data. Wiping solid-state devices, it's kind of hard. So Kevin actually uses old standard hard drives for his travel purposes. He uses a program that wipes the data with at least 35 passes. Then there's file shredding. File shredding does this by overwriting the data hundreds of times in each pass, making it forensically hard to recover later. Another way Kevin deals with data on his laptop is to do a full image backup of the device onto an external drive, and then ship that external drive back to the United States. He then wipes the hard drive on his laptop. Again, the device he carried with him across the border would have no active data on it. Mobile phones? Well, that's another matter. One trick that Kevin suggests is that you enable Touch ID or some other biometric. Before he enters border control, he reboots the device. The device will require that he re-enter his passphrase after reboot before it can then open again. In the United States, you can be compelled to use your fingerprint, but you cannot be compelled to provide your passphrase. In different countries, that might not be true. You may need to give your passphrase, for example, when crossing the border into Canada. Kevin tells the story of when he rented a car to take him from Chicago to Toronto for a speaking engagement. In Michigan, at the border crossing, they were stopped for inspection. Kevin and his driver were instructed to leave the car and to separate for questioning. The driver was compelled by the Canadian border officer to give over his passphrase to access his phone. Kevin, determined not to do that, decided on a different strategy. As one of the Canadian officers approached Kevin's suitcase, he shouted that he had locked it and that they would never get access. The officer said she had every right to search it, and Kevin then delayed in a back and forth with the officer. Finally, he handed over the physical key to open the suitcase. The delay worked. The officer never got around to asking Kevin for his iPhone passphrase. Okay, all of this is a bit extreme for most of us, but I often think of it when I travel outside the United States. And doctors, lawyers, even business professionals have sensitive data on their devices that don't need to be shared with routine customs officials. I've been in and out of Canada many, many times, and frankly, I've never had a problem. That said, I don't have a criminal record. So there's that. Sometimes you can use surveillance tools in your favor. Turn the tables, so to speak. This was a story that was set to appear in the paperback edition of Art of Invisibility. The world's most famous hacker teaches you how to be safe online in the age of Big Brother and Big Data by Kevin Mitnick and myself. It's a story that speaks to how we can sometimes use surveillance for our own good. So when he travels, in addition to wiping his hard drive, Kevin includes a GPS tracker, like Apple AirTag, on all of his luggage. Most of the time, nothing interesting. The luggage arrives as expected, even if it's on another flight. Then there was the time it was lost, in Chicago, and Kevin was able to flip the script and use the surveillance technology to his advantage. Our story starts in Florida. Kevin and his girlfriend were planning to go to Chicago, but bad weather in Florida forced their hand. They'd be stuck until the morning, at least. They arrived early, and when they got to the airport, things were already a mess. The weather was bad. Nonetheless, they checked in for their flight and went to the lounge. Kevin was in the lounge when they canceled his flight. His luggage, however, was already on its way to Chicago. He wouldn't be able to leave until the next morning. Kevin became very concerned about his luggage arriving so far ahead of his rescheduled flight. And perhaps I should explain. When Kevin teaches or speaks at conferences, he often carries with him a lot of electronic equipment, in addition to the clothes and such. So, over dinner, he checked on the status of his luggage. Yes, the bags were still together, and they had arrived at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. Kevin then called the airline, and they swore that they would lock up his luggage until the morning when he arrived. Kevin checked again. One of the bags had left O'Hare International Airport. It was on the move, and worse, the battery on the tracker was now at 11% and declining. After a fitful sleep, under clear skies, they arrive at O'Hare International Airport. One suitcase was there. He knew that. The other, well, now it was an apartment building in the city of Chicago. And the tracker's battery, it was down to 9%. Kevin and his girlfriend grabbed a cab and got on the freeway. As they sped down the Dan Ryan, the bag appeared to be moving once again. This time, the new address was a consignment shop in a strip mall. The cab left Kevin and his girlfriend off at the strip mall, and they went inside the shop. It was the type of shop where people brought in items that they wanted exchanged for money. The provenance of those items would be that they were all legally obtained. Clearly, if Kevin's bag was among them, this wasn't the case. Kevin, however, could not immediately find his bag. Nonetheless, the app kept saying that he was within 10 feet of his suitcase, or at least the tracker. Thinking it would be off by maybe a few feet, he went into the store next to the store and the store on the other side, but no luck. Kevin came back into the consignment shop. Kevin and his girlfriend concentrated on the suitcases, and sure enough, they found his empty suitcase. And then they started to find his custom-tailored shirts on the rack. Since the bag had arrived at the consignment shop while they were riding down the Dan Ryan Expressway, the person who had left these items must have done so recently. So Kevin asked the manager what he knew. "Oh, you just missed him, but he'll be back in an hour to get his money." "What?" Kevin was in luck. That is, if he could get the local police involved. Kevin went out into the parking lot, and he explained the situation to the Chicago Police Department. The officer who took his call was very responsive. After all, this was a chance to actually nab a thief. Moreover, O'Hare had been reporting a string of similar thefts. This could be a chance to tie up more than one case. Shortly afterward, the police officers arrived at the strip mall and set up a plan of action, a sting operation. They would park at an adjacent property and wait for the man's return. Time passed, and there was obvious concern that maybe the thief wasn't coming back. Then again, the thief probably needed the money, especially if the same thief had done this before. As promised, the guy walked in, and a few minutes later, he was under arrest. When Kevin got his luggage back, not all of it was reclaimed. Some of the items were missing, and perhaps they were just not turned into the consignment shop, but still at the thief's home. And the tracker? It was now down to 2%. Long story short, the thief is now behind bars and will probably be there for a while. All this goes to show you what can happen when you mess with a hacker. If you want to hear more stories like this from Kevin and myself on the subject of staying safe online or just generally avoiding government and corporate surveillance, check out our book. It's available in hardback, paperback, and audio as well. It's The Art of Invisibility. The World's Most Famous Hacker teaches you how to be safe in the age of Big Brother and Big Data. And it's available on Amazon or wherever you get your books. And after the holidays, check back here for more HackerMind episodes. If you can't wait, there are now more than 60 previous episodes for you to download and enjoy today. I have so many stories about hackers who are making a positive difference in the world. I don't want you to miss out. And be sure to check out Error Code, my new podcast that focuses on IoT and embedded security. Error Code is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Let's keep this conversation going. DM me at robertvimosi@infosec.exchange on Mastodon or at robertvimosi on Twitter. And tell me what you like and even what you don't. For the Hacker Mind, I'm Robert Vimosi.